There's two ways to diffuse it. If there's emotions connected with it, negative emotions, the negative emotions need to be revisited and diffused. But even if the negative emotions are diffused, if he has an intellectual conclusion that he's not good enough, then that has to be diffused too. And that can only be diffused with the mind. The mind has to look at the situation, retrieve the information connected with it, and come to the conclusion, well, yes, I am good. I'm just as good as my dad was or good as anybody else, you know. And so he has to diffuse this. Illusions can be very dangerous if they're not diffused. And the interesting thing about illusions is the person with illusions can have good intent. He can be a person that wants to do what is right with the world, but he has this illusionary belief. Maybe, let's say that guy that killed those people in the black church, killed 9 people because he thought blacks were destroying everything. Let's suppose that he really believed that, and he goes and kills these people thinking that he is doing a good thing. And what's caused him to make that mistake? What made the mistake was an illusion he was under. He was under illusion that this would accomplish something good. And it accomplished something terrible, especially for his own soul. Hitler was under illusion. He was under a very dangerous illusion that the Jews were controlling the world and they needed to be destroyed for the good of the world. He really believed that. If you read about him, you'll see he really believed that was true. You know, and he thought, really believed that he was doing the world a service by eliminating the Jews from the earth, because he thought they were in league with the devil himself, pretty much, the spawn of the devil and all that. So he figured that he was under the illusion that the Jews were a people that were destroying the planet and needed to be eradicated. It was a very dangerous illusion. Well, story is, he treated his dogs really good. It was really nice to him. His dogs loved him. But, and a lot of his followers loved him. Unlike Stalin, where everybody wanted to poison the guy, Hitler's followers loved the guy. A lot of them did. I mean, a number of them saw him for the way that he was, and there was some rebellion. But a lot of his inner followers almost worshipped at his feet. Whereas Stalin or Chairman Mao, everybody under them hated him and wished that there was some way to destroy them, and only followed because of fear. But Hitler was kind of a unique character. He was able to control people without taking away 100% of their free will, because he was in an illusion, and that illusion was contagious. He also had the illusion that people couldn't really govern themselves, that they needed strong leaders that were intelligent to be able to tell them what to do. He felt that that was the way of things. And so he didn't agree with democracy at all. And he came to that with a mental conclusion, and he developed an illusion around that. He had a lot of illusions, and all his illusions were extremely dangerous. Now the same thing with us. Almost everybody has illusions, and these illusions are more dangerous than emotional flare-ups. With emotional flare-ups, you can get mad, and then pretty soon you can get over it, and things kind of work out. Maybe you get mad again later and stuff like that, but eventually things kind of work out. But if you're under an illusion and don't correct the illusion, things never work out. You never get to the point of truth. So you have to find where the illusion doesn't work. It's like I told you, the atheist that finally reaches a dead end, and he finally reaches a point where he thinks there must be something higher than this, and then he finally starts looking. And this is what takes us out of our illusions. Our illusions eventually take us to a dead end. And when we see that dead end, we have the choice. Do I leave this illusion and explore it or do I continue to embrace it? If he continues to embrace it, he's kind of committing a sin where he knows what he's getting into, because he's so in love with the illusion he can't let it go. He can't let it go because of ego, because he would have to admit he was wrong. He would have to backtrack and start over in many different cases. It's like Greg just recently had a fallout with the Mormon church. How many years did you spend in the church, Greg?
About 55 years.
55 years, okay. So he realized there was illusions. It connected with his belief system. 55 years down the drain, he probably thinks, boy, 55 years, well, I might as well just stay in the rest of my life now. But he didn't do that. He backtracked. Okay? And with 55 years, it takes a lot of guts to be able to backtrack. You know, I was in the church about 20 years when I came to my realizations, and backtracking at that point was difficult. Just 20-year investment is quite an investment. But 55 years, I got to compliment you, Greg. That was probably difficult. But when you find your illusion, and one of the illusions I saw in the church that really woke me up was the beast, and this is what gave me the principle and realization of what the beast really was the strong authority exercised in the Mormon church. And I began to see how that was the beast that's talked about in Revelations, and how that strong authority wasn't just in the Mormon church, but it was everywhere. And so it's amazing how this, and when I saw this, I thought, this is a tremendous illusion that I have been under, that this authority is good. This is something that I need. In other words, the beast has convinced me that I need him to continue my progression. And the funny thing about people that leave a very authoritative religion, not only Mormon church, but other churches, they jump from the pot into the frying pan. Many people leave like the Mormon church and then go to some fundamentalist place like, who's that guy that's in jail now, Jeff? Warren Jeffs. Yeah, he's even a lot worse than the Mormon church for authority figure. I mean, Mormons look like Cinderella compared to this guy. So oftentimes what they'll do is jump from the pot, frying pan to the pot, or frying pan to the fire, as they say, go from one illusion to another. So once we dispel an illusion, we must make sure we don't jump into another illusion, but we go back to the source, dispel the illusion, and when the illusions are dispelled in our life, then the last major barrier between us and our soul is dispelled, and soul contact will be much easier.
Yeah, just a couple of thoughts. I think depending on a person's evolution, their spiritual evolution, sometimes the authority, sometimes the box is helpful. And then you outgrow it. You know, it was just part of the path. It was necessary. It served its purpose. But if you stay in it, then you're thwarting your soul's growth. So I don't know if it's necessarily a matter of right or wrong, but staying in something that you've outgrown, that's the problem, out of fear. And I think that's where the gift of being an atheist is sometimes. It's like you need to chuck everything. My dad, who was one of the most Christ-like people I ever knew, I remember when I was about 18 or 19, he says, you know, you need to be an atheist for a while. And just kind of sort out, you know, what you believe, and I did that, and it was a very painful process, but it helped me dump a lot of crap and really be open to having some stuff come in.
Now, Larry, you were an atheist for a while, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
So how did you get out of that?
How did I get out of it? I think you described it fairly well. You know that life presents you with challenges to basically say, you know, these are too much.
Yeah.
There's got to be something else.
Yeah. Eventually you reach that dead end, huh?